You're very welcome back to the Southeast Radio Sports Hour on this Sunday evening. We'll stick with the GAA theme and we'll hear now from a woman who has a truly inspiring story from right here in the county as well. Grainne Power, who plays with the Kilmore Lady Footballers here in the county, shared an inspiring story about her battle with drinking drugs and how the GAA saved her and helped her to kickstart her life once again as part of TG Cahir's Underdogs story, and a brilliant TV show that's on every Thursday night, and you can catch it up on The Player as well. But I'm joined now by Grainne to speak a little bit about that journey that she's had. And Grainne, thanks very much for coming on the show.
No bother, Aidan. How are you?
I'm not too bad, not too bad. Well, listen, we're going to talk about your exploits on the football field, but there's no rest for the wicked, as they say. You were out playing rugby today, so how did you get on?
Yeah, we were up in Port Leash there today. Now, we lost, but we were coming back strong there in the second half, and it was getting so close. They're an amazing bunch of women down there, you know. They've been so supportive, and they're not a bunch of women I'd want to be messing with anyway, so I'd rather be on their team than on the opposition.
Absolutely. And listen, were you always somebody that was kind of sports mad? Did you always have to have a ball in your hands? Or in your case, I know you were big into the horses as well. Were you always kind of that sports mad teenager?
Not particularly. Now, I played football when I was very young, up to about under 14. And I remember the last match I played was with the county, and I played under 14s in Dr. Cullen Park. And so then horses took over, and between secondary school and things like that, kind of sport went out the window. And it wasn't actually till I came back into recovery that I kind of found my safe space in sport. You know, it gave me that focus again, and I really enjoy it. It's bringing out that competitive nature in me.
Absolutely. And as you say, it was actually the horses that took your fancy early on. No surprise for anybody in South Wexford, given the wonderful talent that we have down there. You were involved with the Killinick Pony Club coming up as well.
Yeah, I was. I was very lucky with them. We competed all over the country, really. And I went to school out in Bridgetown. So a lot of us grew up together. You know, we would have been in pony club together, in school together. And really, it was amazing. It was a great childhood. And sure, we all brought the worst out in each other. We're all very competitive. And a lot of them now have gone on, you know, they're gone on to be jockeys and eventers. And it's amazing. Like, it's a great way to grow up, really. And a lot down here would grow up that way.
And now it is, to be honest, like, it is probably easier to sit here and talk about all the brilliant times that you had on horses, in races and eventing. But unfortunately, your life took a bit of a turn then when you had probably your worst experience on a horse when you moved to Kildare. You were really trying to give race riding a go at the time, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. And, you know, injuries, it's part of horses. And I'd had many injuries before. It was just different the way this had happened. It was quite traumatic, and the way the accident actually unfolded was more traumatic to me than the injuries. So I suffered quite heavily, you know, with the mental side of it as well as the physical side, you know. And then, yeah, obviously, you know, my story goes then when I took that extra dose. And, you know, nobody starts off thinking they're doing anything wrong in particular, or nobody thinks the end goal is going to be, you know, you don't think you're going to get to that position, but it can quickly spiral, and it can spiral without you even realizing it, you know?
Yeah, that unfortunately is a story that we're getting more used to seeing, I suppose. People with a very serious injury, they try to find a way to deal with that pain, and unfortunately they turn to prescription pills, and it might be something that we actually hide away as a society, and unfortunately it became an addiction for you, and you must have found life very, very tough then in that situation.
I did, and you know, sometimes I remember someone saying to me very early, you know, there is no real difference between getting it from a doctor or getting it on a corner, you know, but sometimes when you're getting it from a doctor, you can allow yourself to do it a bit easier. But, you know, as well in society and in everyday now, it is very, you know, it's in everywhere. It's in every secondary school. It's in every community. and it has been very taboo for a very long time. And it's not as common with women either. So when I came into recovery, I found it very difficult to identify with anybody because I didn't know very many women, or I didn't know any women in sport that had been through it. You hear it more of men, but not of women, you know. So I suppose in small communities, maybe we don't talk about these things as much. And, you know, the girls that I coach, I wanted them to know that it's okay to talk about these things, that, you know, we don't have to be scared to talk about these things. My parents are always been amazing. They always said, you know, there's no problem that can't be fixed. You know, and when you have that support behind you, you know, by me sharing my story, if it just helps one person, which are, that's half the job done, you know.
Absolutely. And listen, you do have to be commended for coming out. And as you say, it is still quite taboo to talk about your addiction problems like that. But, you know, yeah, breaking down, you know, a story like that and putting it on a national TV show is one way of getting the story out there. And I'm just seeing on the Twitter here, there's 77,000 people have watched that video so far. So it's brilliant that, you know, you are able to stand up and say, look, this is the life I've led so far, and hopefully that will be, you know, an inspiration to somebody who might be going through similar problems.
Yeah, well, you see, I didn't actually expect the video to go like that. I wasn't even on Twitter until the night of the show, and I'd got a couple of texts and whatnot. I didn't in any way expect the video to go like that. You know, I just thought, I suppose I'm so used to living my own life that I didn't even realise how it's abnormal in everyday life. But there's so many people, everybody knows someone who's had a problem with drink or a problem with drugs or who's had mental health problems. And if we make this more normal and acceptable to talk about, you know, then it's out in the open. You can deal with what you know, you can't deal with what you don't know.
That's very true, yeah. And listen, you have to, I suppose, put yourself out there and look for that help as well. And I believe you got it in Ashiri here in Roxburgh, was that right?
Yeah, I was very lucky. I went into Ashiri November 2015, so I did 28 days there first, and they were absolutely brilliant. They're fantastic at their jobs in there. And it was just, I needed a little bit more time because I thought I was going to be boring maybe without drinking. I still thought I was so young, and I was trying to be honest, and I was saying, oh, maybe I'll just do it on the weekends. And they said, no, you know, they said to my family, she's going to need a little bit more time. So I got to come home then for a week or two, and I went on to a second treatment centre just for women down in Cork. So I had that extra time to reflect and really do the work down there. So, yeah, I was very lucky. Not everybody gets the opportunity to go to treatment centres. Yeah. I do know a lot of people that go to meetings who have never been in a treatment centre, and they can get the help in AA and NA in Wexford. Mm-hmm. You know, so everyone's journey is very different. But the most important thing is making that first step and asking for help.
Absolutely. And that's the most important message, and to say that, you know, they do brilliant work here. I know the lads in Ashiri and on all those different organisations. But I know on Underdogs, you also said that the GAA club, the local club there in Kilmore, they had to get you back on track as well. So that's exactly what we want to see from our clubs, that they are these community organisation helping out and reaching out to others as well. So how did they help you?
First of all, when I first started playing football, you know, it gave me that consistency in my life again that I hadn't had for a while. You know, it also helped me socially. I was, you know, I didn't know who I was as a person, and I kind of went very shy for a while. So having to go up to train, and there was a lot of people playing that I didn't know. So going up to train and being consistent and showing up when I was supposed to show up, it taught me a lot, and it taught me a lot about myself. But playing football and having the support of them girls, it also gave me the confidence to try rugby and to try a new sport. And that's the thing about, you know, any community and any sport, whatever it is you're not going to be brilliant at anything when you first try it or when you first start. So you have to go up, you have to get to know the people, you have to stick it out when you're making these silly mistakes. And it's the people that are around you and the people that are supporting you that will bring you on in whatever sport you choose to do. So even though I am on the underdogs and it is for football, anybody who would like to try something new, I encourage them to go that first night, stick at it, be consistent, have the right support around you, and just give it a go and not worry about making mistakes or what other people think. You know, just go and do what you love, and do what you love because you want to do it.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the best message we can get out of here as well, is that, you know, these clubs are open and available to you if you want to get out and reach out for support. And listen, you are, of course, on Underdogs coming up on Thursday. So I believe there's going to be some sort of army training or something like the SAS kind of stuff coming up.
I can't give too much away, but sure. I can tell you, probably my attitude changes a little bit in this one.
Okay.
I'm not great for camping or for being told what to do, so I might struggle a little bit in this one, but you'll have to watch and see, and hopefully you'll enjoy the show and tune in anyway and support us. But we also have another Wexford girl is with us,
Katrina
Parrock. So it'll be interesting to see her as well in that role, you know.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you've already proven your toughness and already gotten so far, and that has to be commended. And thanks very much for coming on the show with us here tonight, Gráinne.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. And if you want to watch more from Gráinne, she'll be on Underdogs. It's 9:30 there on TG Car, and it's going to be on the TG Car player there as well online if you want to listen back. Thanks very much, Gráinne.
Thank you. Bye.
That's absolutely brilliant there. Gráinne, what a brilliant story. And if you want to go and listen to that back, it will be up on the Southeast Radio website. And congratulations to her for even getting this far. And I know she's bringing through the next generation here in County Wexford as well, in Kilmore. So hopefully they will take some brilliant lessons from her story as well.